BBC WM. Bradley Walsh is with us tonight, special guest on the show. But he's in Birmingham just before Christmas, a pantomime, the biggest pantomime in the world. Over 100 people in the cast, real horses, 9 shows over 5 days at the Barclaycard Arena, Cinderella. So I want to talk about Arsenal. We'll do that probably a bit later on. But Law and Order, we were talking about before the travel of the news. Is that Bradley Walsh going to come back with you in it?
Strangely enough, will Law and Order come back? At this precise moment, I don't know. The reason I don't know is because we are having a meeting about this very thing next week at ITV for their new drama slate. So I have to see our boss and have a chat about what's on the drama agenda for the next coming couple of years.
Because if it does come back, clearly you have to be in it. Because a great cast, but you were dominating that show. It was your show. It was
strange enough, I didn't really do a lot in it. I sort of pulled the odd face and wore the Mac and, you know, looked through my glasses like a bit of a Yoda sort of character, which I enjoyed because it was so different from my character in Coronation Street, Danny Baldwin, who was a bit of a Jack the Lad and Wahey Wahol. And then Ronnie Brooks was it's a very odd thing, you know, when you're acting like in a show like that and you take on a character like that, because the start of every series, I had to watch 3 or 4 episodes to see how he was, because he's so unlike me. I'm a slightly more bubbly, and I'm, you know, all sorts and quicker. And I used to, my wife used to say to me, when I came home from work or when I was at the weekend, I would walk with a stoop and walk much slower with my shoulders hunched over.
And that's what I do now.
Yeah, but it's a very peculiar thing, you know. And then I'd ask questions like I was a policeman.
The chase you do on TV.
Yes.
That's filmed over a period of time. You must do multiple episodes.
But yeah, do 3 a day. Make 3 a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've had a few of the chasers on this show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Paul Sinner, for a start, who's a stand-up comedian in his own right.
And a doctor.
And a doctor, indeed. Yeah.
So he's a very, very clever guy. Very funny. Very funny. We should release a DVD of Paul Sinner's outtakes, because there's stuff he says on the show you would never be allowed to say on any television show unless it was after 11 o'clock at night.
There's a lot of stuff people can go on YouTube and see you in action, corpsing time and time again.
But they do it deliberately to me, Paul.
Yeah.
The question setters do it deliberately. They know I've got a very juvenile sense of humour. I never see the questions. This is how it works. The chasers and I, before the show, never meet. We're not allowed to meet. So we're kept in different parts of the building. Then we walk on. So I never know who's coming across the bridge, right? So when I introduce her, who are you going to face today? It's time to bring on the chaser. And for the first time, the contestant sees the chaser is the first time I see the chaser.
Right, so, okay. And it could be any one of them.
Any one of them. And they're all used on a rotation scheme.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the questions that at the table, I never see the questions. So the first time the contestants, I literally play alongside. And I never see it. So the question setters do it deliberately. They'll throw as many spanners in the works as they possibly can. And that's where I come unstuck. That's why YouTube is full of stuff with me in it. And I must have earned nearly £20 million out of It'll Be All Right in the Night. £250 a clip or whatever it is, blooper clips. God knows how much people must have earned out of those clips from me.
But the spontaneous sense of humour that you have.
Yeah.
And maybe you prefer not to know. I
prefer not to know because I can play along then, you see. And that's what it's all about for me. I love the show. I love working on that show. It's great. I love everything I do, though. Like you. You know, you love it. I used to run a radio show in London, for a company, Capital Gold. I used to love my Sunday mornings there, Breakfast with Brad. I thought it was great fun.
We talked about the love of football that you have. When you came in, you swapped. We have coloured felt covers on the microphones here, and you were in front of a green one, and you weren't having that. You swapped it for a red one because those are the colours of
Arsenal Football Club,
who are at the Hawthorns on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, but I've got to say, he's got them playing well, West Bromwich. He's got them playing well, I've got to say.
They're very organised.
They are very organised.
And Tony Pulis has the hoodoo over Wenger.
He does indeed. He does indeed. I have to say, Tony Pulis, that's a great acquisition for the Baggies. I really do. I think it's a very, very good acquisition. I think he's a good, good man. And do you know what I like about him? He wears a baseball cap and a tracksuit. That's what I like. He's sort of muck and bullets, you know what I mean? Standing there in all sartorial elegance. I don't think there's any need for that. I think you've got to get stuck in. You know what I mean?
I think Arsene needs to go back to the tracksuit and trainers, though.
No, because he can't ever get that tracksuit. He can't ever get the rain mac on. Have you seen him with that quilted coat he always took with a zip? It's a killer. He can't do it.
We've got a special one-off interview, an exclusive interview with Tony Pulis after six. I've spent some time with him during the course of this week. But, Bradley Walsh, Arsenal, potential Premier League champions this time around, are they?
See?
Or not?
See what you've done?
They always blow it, though, don't they?
See what you've done? You've said it. That's it. We're not going to win now, are we? You've completely balked it. That's what you've done.
You don't think?
I can't not saying a word. I'm not saying a word. That's the end of that conversation. I'm not saying a word.
Because Chelsea have flunked it, so they're out the running.
I don't know what's happening there. I really don't know what's happening there. But anyway, look, there you are. We'll see at Christmas. What happens in third week of Jan? We'll see where everyone is.
Yeah, but professional footballer.
Yes.
If you'd stayed fit and you could have had a career in the Premier League, would you have swapped that for what you've done over the last 20, 30 years?
100%.
You would?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the thing I set out to do. That's the thing I wanted to do. And when I was younger, it doesn't happen like this now. You know, kids don't play football in the street anymore. Mm. And we were street kids that played football. And we'd wait for the car to pass and we'd get back and start playing again. And then we'd go over to park and play. And it's all I ever wanted to do. To sit and watch the big match on a Sunday with Brian Moore and watch BBC Match of the Day. I was allowed to sit up and watch Match of the Day when I was a kid. And so consequently, to see that, and I'm from Watford originally, so we used to drink in a pub called the Hammer in Hand, which is at the bottom of Gander's Ash. And which is the name of a road, beautiful name. Mm. And all the Watford players used to turn up on a Sunday. That's when football kicked off at 3 o'clock every Saturday afternoon. And for Sunday lunch, that all the Watford players would come to this pub. And it was a thrill to meet them. And I'm 55 now, so I'll mention some players that used to play for Watford with 55-year-olds. Oh, yeah, thank you. That's very kind. But we used to have players like Duncan Welborn and Stuart Scullion and players like that, and Barry Endine that played at Watford. And it was a thrill to meet them. It was just the most fantastic. To stand next to like a professional footballer was just extraordinary. And I've done some great things in my life, don't get me wrong. But if I'd have carried on playing and not been injured, Gordon Taylor once said to me, Brad, you can still take your badges now, you know that, don't you? And I wish I'd have taken them years ago because I would still be in the game now. I mean, I weren't the greatest player in the world, I must admit. I was a winger and ended up as a fullback. And I was pretty tough in the tackle. And that's where my injuries came from. Mm. But I'd have loved to have been a coach now. And I'd love to have been part of that setup, sitting on the bench next to Wenger or next to Tony Pulis, or not necessarily to be them, but to be part of that. The dressing room banter. Comedy's a lonely game. It's a lonely game. You spend a lot of time on the M6 and the M1 and the M5 on your own, driving to and from gigs. But when you're part of it, I love being part of a team, which is why this year when we do Panto, say, for instance, you've got 100 people. They become your immediate family.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it's all about. And I love that. And I loved, which is why I enjoy, we do a thing every 2 years, Euros and the World Cup, Soccer Aid. We do Soccer Aid.
Which you played
for ITV. I love that. I love the dressing room banter with the lads. And a lot of my mates now are quite big in the game, in the English game. So I've been very fortunate, really. A lot of players I played against at the time, you know, have now sort of ended up, the Alan Pardews of this world, have ended up like in charge of big clubs. So it's quite cool.
Yeah. And do you enjoy the recognition that you get when you're out and about?
Listen, people just want to say hello.
Yeah.
And I think that's lovely. I really do. I don't have a problem with that at all. People just want to say hi. And if it makes them, or a selfie or whatever, even if it makes them feel, you know, that I came out of New Street today and...
You came up on the train, we should say, as well.
Yeah, came up on the train today, yeah. And which I love. And I came out of New Street today and there's a lot of building works going on at New Street. And a guy in a hard hat walked past me and sort of looked at me and then, I don't know, must have walked about 10 paces past, turned around and at the top of his voice shouted out, Bradders! And I turned around and he had his hand up and he walked back. He said, do us a favour, Brad. He said, well, you signed my high-vis jacket for me. So I signed a high-vis jacket. As I turned round, there must have been a dozen people around us, all wanting photographs, and about five of his mates all in hard hats and stuff. And that's really nice to know that you are approachable, and I quite like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I quite like that.